Background. 36 years previously, Asa's father, Abijah, died, and Asa began to reign in his place. The first 10 years of Asa's reign, he did what was right and good in the eyes of the Lord his God, and led the country in a time of renewal and prosperity. In his 11th year, Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against the nation with a 1,000,000-man army. Asa responded to the threat by crying out to the Lord and relying on God for his help. And the Lord his God gave him an overwhelming victory. Not only were the Ethiopians broken before the Lord and his army, but they plundered the enemy and came away with a great abundance of livestock. God defeated the enemy and gave Asa their riches. Sometime after defeating the Ethiopians and returning to Jerusalem, God spoke to Asa through Azariah, the son of Oded. And to quote, as soon as Asa heard these words, end quote, he led a renewal effort in all Judah and Benjamin and entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. He even removed his mother, Maacah, from being queen mother because of her idol worship. Asa was commended for a heart that was wholly true, and the country then enjoyed 35 years of peace. But now, Asa faces another threat, this time from the king of Israel. Would you turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1. All of that background was straight out of 2 Chronicles 14 and 15, by the way. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1. As I've tried to paint the picture that Asa had this first threat. Now this was into his 11th year of reigning. His father Abijah had died. Asa had 10 years of peace. In the 11th year, Zerah the Ethiopian came with the 1,000,000-man army and with 300 chariots. It was a formidable force. But Asa cried out to the Lord and he relied on God in the midst of that threat, and God blessed him tremendously. So that was the 11th year. In chapter 16, verse 1, we read in the 36th year. So we're 25 years later. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, a fortified city, that he might permit no one to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Now, what is happening here is, and it happened, I didn't count all the times or do all of that background, but the people living in the northern kingdom of Israel, they would see a renewal going on in the southern kingdom, Judah. And it happened under at least one other king and probably others. And so then they would migrate. And they would say, you know, this, you know, they had a true belief in God and they wanted to get things right and they wanted to go and they wanted to be part that together they made a covenant before the Lord and they cleaned up the land. They got rid of the idols, tore down high places. And so they went to migrate south. And so, well, if you remember the story of Jephthah, one of the ways he combated that was, that's why he built some of the idols to keep them there so they wouldn't. And then he made different ones Levite priests so they wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem, so they wouldn't take that journey south. So here they're building the fortifications to physically keep them, armed forces to keep them from going south to Judah. And so the northern kingdom of Israel is fighting the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah. And that happened a bit throughout their history. So Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah that he might permit no one to go out or come into Asa. So here is the second threat now that Asa is facing. Now the first time he went before the Lord and God gave him great victory. 25 years, let's think of 25 years ago was 2001. 2001, what was the big huge event in 2000? No, not 2001, 1991. Get my math right here. 1991. What were we doing in 1991? Let's see. We were still in Portage, Indiana, Portage Community Bible Church. And what were you, Liz, do you remember what you were doing 25 years ago? Were you still at Western? Okay. Daryl, were you still a Caterpillar guy? Steve, were you still farming? No, I'm being...
Trying to.
Yeah. Chuck, you were still teaching.
Trying to.
Tip, still driving a truck. 25 years, it's not a long time, but it is really a long time. So we're going to see how he handles the second threat. So we see that Baasha comes up against him. The second response then in verses 2 to 6. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. Okay, so his second response we can already see. Now we're going to know for sure, because God is going to, a little bit later in this text, God is going to call him out. But we can already see a difference here in how he responded to the threats. So we're already wondering, well, what happened in these 25 years before? Before, I cry out to the Lord, pray to God, rely on God. And this is what the word that's used. He relied on God. We're going to see a little bit later as the prophet comes and chastises him, Hanani, the seer, and he says, you relied on the king of Syria instead of relying on the Lord your God. So the second response, and it was very successful. Very successful. It worked, didn't it? And it says, how does Asa respond to this threat? He forges a very successful alliance with the king of Syria, forcing Baasha to withdraw. He then furthers his successful political maneuver by using the very building materials from the fortress at Ramah to build his defenses at Geba and Mizpah. A very successful endeavor, it would seem, by all accounts, except for the only one that really counts, by God. Now, if you follow this story, and it's like, here, I can handle this. Okay, I can't handle this. I'll call on God for that. But I can handle this. Here's a way. I know this will work. I'll send these riches. And if you notice, too, that it was the treasures from the king's house, but the treasures he sent to the king of Syria also from where else? From the house of the Lord, in verse 2. And he said he can handle this. And you know what? In the eyes of everyone around, well, not everyone. I'm sure there were some people who were spiritually perceptive. But it was very successful. It worked. It was a fine political maneuver. There was no bloodshed. They didn't have to fight. They just sent these riches to this other king. Now, the irony there is that indirectly, God told, through Hanani, he told Asa that he would have given even the king of Syria into his hand if he had only relied on him. So we have to be careful sometime when we have something that's successful. And here's what can happen. We can have a smaller congregation. We can have, or maybe it's not that small, but we feel small because of the enormity of this world, or by the enormity of this world's struggles and problems. We can forget who our God is, can't we? We roll along, and we can forget that God is God, and we can forget that He is sovereign Lord. We can forget that it only took Asa 25 years, but this account here, well, it's in Israel and that. So I didn't look this, but it would be, after David, so maybe around 700 BC. So we're talking between 2,500 and 3,000 years ago. But we can forget that God, our verse that we're going to get to, is running the earth, looking for people to strongly support whose heart is blameless toward him. And it seems, as we go further through this, that Asa has done that. But it seemed successful. It's like, well, we took care of business. We got this done. Won't God be happy? Well, no, he wasn't. So, he's chastised by the Lord, chapter 16, in verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Now see, we don't have any guesswork here as to why God was upset. We don't have any guesswork as to what Asa did was wrong. He didn't rely on God. He didn't rely on God. We read some of these ancient stories, and we need to allow God to put us in the place where they stir our souls and we know they're true. You know what I mean? I don't mean that we just know they're true. I mean that we know they're true. And so when we read, for the eyes of the Lord run the earth, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him, that we believe that. Do we believe that? It doesn't take a large group believing in a sovereign Lord, God, to do wonderful, mighty things in his name, to shine his light brightly, to bring glory, to spread his gospel, to stand in his behalf, this tremendous privilege that we have, the stewardship that we have as individuals, the stewardship that we have as a fellowship. I know I mentioned this, and I probably will keep, but the stewardship we've been given together as God has brought people from here and there and over there, and he's brought them here, and he's made faith fellowship. And in these moments that we have, are we going to believe that God is God and really believe it? Are we going, and that I titled the message for tonight, is God looking for you? Who's it say he's looking for? Is it to give his eyes of the Lord run to and fro? Can you picture that? God's searching. He's running the earth, eyes to and fro, to give what? What kind of support? Strong support to those. And now who is it? He wants to give strong support to who?
To fully committed.
And this is where sometimes I think we lose our edge. And it's very easy to do, to lose our edge in this way and to be pretty much committed. But really, when you think about the walk of faith, it's total commitment. And to walk in this abundance of God, and it's stepping out, and it is the unknown in many decisions that we make. But what we do know is, and when we have that kind of faith, we know who our God is. And we will know that, and it will stir our soul. It will be deeper and deeper, more ingrained in our lives, the Holy Spirit speaking that message to us, that our God is God. Our God is sovereign Lord. Our God rules over the affairs of men. That is the reward of a walk of faith. Is a soul stirred. We don't just kind of believe this. We don't just believe this a lot, but we believe this to the depths of our soul. And so when the threat arrives, whatever that might be, it can be the threat of the loss of employment. It can be the threat of the craziness in our political scene. It can be ISIS, and Carrie, how many names were they, the other, you listed this morning, the Boko Raton and all of those threats. That's a big deal, it is. And it's awful, and it is. But our God, are we allowing Him to stir our souls? He is sovereign Lord. Almost, and I don't want to take off on that because I might want to preach on that next week, but or the week after or whenever, but the Gideon thing, starting out with 30,000. See, we never want to make too much of ourselves, but in Romans 12:2, let me, and you can turn there too if you'd like, it says, have sober judgment, and not 12:2, verse 3, 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, what we can sometimes take away is only that, to not think too much of ourselves. But we don't want to think too little of ourselves as to who we are in Jesus Christ. So we don't want to be little puff toads, but we don't want to shrink back in weakness and in lack of faith either, because we're just a little small fellowship in Western Illinois. Let God tell us who we are. Souls that are stirred with the truth of the Word of God and with His might and His grace and His power and His love, His holiness and His righteousness. That's who we are, and who to walk worthy of the manner with which we have been called, and let God stir us with those things. And He's looking for those people who are fully committed, who are blameless, who are totally loyal to Him. And it means something to God. It means something to God. And what I mean by that is you know what it means to you. When someone, I can remember one of the guys, and Bill Rostad was his name. And he was one of those, he stuck right there with me, because we had, I had mentioned in Sunday school 2 weeks ago, one of their teachers at Frontier was upset with me because I was preaching through Peter, and I preached through Love Covers a Multitude of Sins. And Bill actually, he came to LaGrange to be a student there, but he would get upset. He'd stand right up there for me. What are you after Pastor Dave like that? Because I remember one of them was upset because we went through a Sunday evening series on how the Bible was put together. On the manual, it was one of the subjects I look forward to most, one of the classes at Moody. All the manuscript evidence and all the comparisons and when it was written and when you had the earliest copy, and then the canonization. How did the books of the Bible become the books of the Bible, and all of these things? And one of the teachers there, and he was a good guy. They were all, as far as I can remember, they were good guys. They were very, so far to the right though, and I would really sometimes have them a little bonkers at times, and they would lash out. And that's when my buddy Bill. And boy, that nothing makes you feel better than somebody loyal by your side, does it? And you know what, man? Nothing makes you feel worse than riding into battle and see your troops disappear over the hill. Have you ever seen Braveheart? And when they bought off all the lords of the land, he thought he had them, and they were going to go into battle. And England bought off all the lords of the land, gave him more money and more land. And he's heading off, and he sees them peeling away one by one, going over the other way. See, this means something to God. God's not some little weakling. He's not going to say, oh no, they deserted. But it means something to Him in all of His might and His glory, who dwells in unapproachable light. I can't get over that, can you? That it means something to Him that I am truly, completely, fully committed to Him in my love and devotion. Daryl, does that grab you? That grabs me. That stirs, and it should stir our souls. And He's looking for people like that. And I think we've got people like that here. And what might God do? And so we can look at these things happening, and they're scary. I mean, they are if we let it. But we come back to our rock, don't we? Our foundation, our strong our strong shell, our shelter in the time of a storm, our strong tower. That's what I'm trying to get out. And those aren't just words and they aren't just Bible verses, but we know because God's stirring our soul because of our love and commitment to Him, that we know that they are more true than anything that is spouted out across the media, whether it's radio, it's television, whether it's conservative or liberal. The words of God are forever. And that's what He has plopped right in our lap, and we should treasure it. And we share that, and we just this commitment of ours to God. We don't know what's going to happen this year. I'm sure not going to get into, oh, God's coming this year. I mean, we're going to, you know, this country's going to hell in a handbasket or the world or whatever. But it could happen, couldn't it? It's going to happen one of these days, isn't it? And I don't want to just be watching because that might happen. I want to be watching because I love God. And I want to be one of His loyal ones. I want to see the smile on the face of Almighty God of the universe. Because somehow this little weakling stayed faithful to Him and shined His light. Isn't that thrilling to our souls? And this is who God is looking for. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. Asa had lost that. If you get a chance, read chapters 14 and 15 this week. The renewal that he went through, the prosperity that God gave them, the peace that God gave. Something happened. We can't say for sure what that is. Only thing we can say for sure is just these direct words that we knew that he should have relied on God. He should not have sent that money, those treasures, to the king of Syria. He should have relied on God. And now here's the rest of this chastisement. You have done foolishly in this. See, this wasn't just, you kind of missed it, and okay, you chose option B, you should have chosen option A, but, well, you know, it worked out pretty well. I mean, you stopped the fortifications, and you actually, man, look how this thing worked out. You took the building materials, and you fortified Judah. No, there was no good in it. He said, in this you have done foolishly, for from now on you will have wars. So we have the second response. It was not a response of faith. It was not a response of reliance on God. And folks, we need to make sure we're relying on God. We need to make sure we're not fighting like humans fight. And we'll take just a couple minutes. I want to throw a little New Testament perspective. 2 Corinthians 10. Because we forget this in our country. In evangelicalism, in fundamentalism, in the good old USA. And man, is it good old USA. I was talking with Liz and Jeanette, and we're planning songs for next week. And I was telling them how at the nursing home, God Bless America is one of the favorites. I might have to encourage them to sing other things or remind them to sing along or whatever. But I don't have to say anything. When I sing God Bless America, they are right in there, this grand country that we live in. But we something happens sometimes in the intervening years, and we forget that the battle is the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17:47, I think. Here, just hang on to the 2 Corinthians 2. But yeah, see, we need to live with this. David standing out there on that hillside, and this over 9 foot tall war machine coming at him, mocking him, saying he's going to feed him to the birds. And David says this, he says, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you. And folks, this is what we need to do. Doesn't matter how loud the other voices are, how loud that they're proclaiming their Christian and their moral and all of this, we need to make sure we're hearing God. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. We want this community to know that there is a God, and He's God, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Let's never forget. Can we never forget that the battle is the Lord's? Can we never forget that the battle is the Lord's? And He will give you into our hand, David said. Now over to the 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. See, that's what Asa did that second time around. The first time around, oh, it's a battle is the Lord's. Cry out to God, rely on God. The second time, I can handle this. This is how we can get this done. We'll go through this way. There's a political resolution here. I can send these riches. That'll take care of this. And then just one other in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Where's our strength? Strong in the Lord. And where? And in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not walk. Who don't we wrestle? Oh, Hoosier got me there, didn't it? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the what? The cosmic powers over this present darkness. Do we see the battle? And when we're sharing with the neighbor, and when we're trying to get up the gumption to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to reach out with someone, this is what we're fighting against: the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, and here we will, and we will stand, to stand firm, and we will stand firm. We can stand firm. God holds it out there to stand firm. The battle is the Lord. So let's not be shaking in our boots and fearful and wrecked with worry and anxiety. The battle is the Lord's. This earth is the Lord's. This universe is our Lord's. And He's got us like that. And He's looking for those whose hearts are stirred and fully committed. Now the end of this story, Paul Harvey, and the rest of the story is not very good. And it's in verses 10 to 14, and I'll just give you the overview. And all of these are just, I didn't have to embellish or add, all of these are right out of the text. 5 years later, Asa dies an angry, vengeful, raging, cruel, bitter, and rebellious man, because he did the foolish thing. See, we think sometimes we'll do the faith thing or the almost faith thing. No, we do the faith thing or we act the fool. We either believe there's a God and He's sovereign Lord, or our hearts telling us, well, maybe that's just not all there, or where our soul isn't stirred as it should be in the presence of our Almighty King. One of my favorite songs, I had it on there, I played it this morning before everybody came, All Hail King Jesus. I can't wait to be in the hall of the great King and singing. I might have to start it out. I don't know if it'll be on the music program, Liz, you know, who gets together and puts those things together. I might have to start it out, but I'll bet I'll have one or two joining me. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. You're just too good to us, Father. your goodness, our cups overflow. And it's not because of this world. It's not because of the material plenty that you blessed most of us with. We're grateful for that. We're thankful. We give you all credit and glory to that you give us these things. But Father, that it's our lives are anchored in the most holy place in the universe because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you are ours and we are yours. We are the children of the Almighty, the holy ones of God, set apart your plan and your purpose to bring you glory. We pray, Lord, here we are, 50, 60 people, Western Illinois Prairie, and to just bring much just beaming joy to you, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.